Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My name is Molly McLaughlin, and I own a company that optimizes sleep through technology, accountability, and behavioral change. Each week, I'll be interviewing world-class experts ranging from doctors, innovators, and thought leaders to give actionable tips and strategies that you can implement to become a more skillful sleeper. Let's jump into your dose of practical sleep training. Welcome to the Sleep is a Skill podcast. My guest today is the co-founder and CEO of BioStrap. If you're not familiar with BioStrap, they are a popular sleep wearable. And what's really exciting about them is that they are doing a number to help make the data that they're pulling accessible in a way that a lot of other wearables are kind of keeping behind, you know, lock and key. And there's a lot of implications that that can help in the industry to ensure that we're not just getting some of these readouts from some of these wearables and having a lot of questions as to how did they get to where they got to. We can actually go on the back end with their data in a way that a lot of them don't allow us to. So that's pretty exciting. And there's some of the other things that they are up to is really building a whole health wearable platform in which they are. So some of these things I had no idea they're up to. So we learn about it together on this podcast. So one, they discuss their BioStrap Labs, which is really cool. And they discuss kind of some experiments that they're running. First one that they just did was with Theragun, which if you haven't tried Theragun, oh my goodness, I use that thing so often. Again, no affiliation with any of these things, but just pretty cool seeing testing certain products and then their impact on sleep, health, and well-being metrics. So we'll get into that. Then they also make a couple cool announcements. One, looking at the Iron Cowboy. Not sure if any of you, I wasn't as familiar with the Iron Cowboy, but they had linked up with him. He is just a beast, and he is committing to running 100 triathlons in 100 days. I don't even know what that could possibly look like, particularly for, imagine just your HRV alone. What would that look like? Well, he's going to be hooked up. He chose out of all the wearables, BioStrap, to partner with to display his tracking data throughout the whole course of this. So that's launching very soon in March. So anyway, you can listen in, get all the details, but that was just some unexpected gems that I got out of the conversation, even just beyond the many, many questions I had around their product in general. So I think you're going to really love it. I know I had a blast and I was just really surprised and delighted by the company and how just awesome they've been. They're actually sending me a BioStrap, one of the latest models to test out. So to be continued, I'll share that with you guys on the newsletter. And if you guys wear one, please don't hesitate to respond to the weekly newsletter and share some of your experiences, questions, call-outs, any of that good stuff, because they've been great in sharing their insights and would be happy to hear some of that feedback. So without further ado, let's hear a little bit about Samir. So Samir is that co-founder and CEO of BioStrap, last name Santeki, and I'm hopefully pronouncing that correctly. And he was just a pleasure. You're going to really enjoy his energy. But Samir has 10 plus years of experience in software and product development. Previously, he co-founded a fast-growing marketing software company where he architect and built enterprise applications, backend services, and set up data pipelines for big data ingestion to deliver meaningful insights from different data systems. Currently, Samir is the co-founder and CEO of BioStrap, a health wearable platform offering the world's most advanced science-based technology to improve global health, facilitating data collection through a clinically validated wrist-worn device. BioStrap utilizes machine learning and artificial intelligence to provide comprehensive, individualized, and population-level insights into one's physiology and overall health, help users to manage stress, monitor sleep activity, meditation, brain health, and heart health. After a transformative weight loss journey, Samir became obsessed with health and how one can take better control of your well-being. Having been in the software engineering industry for 10 years, he's realized that his passion for wearables and health could be interlinked and that he could create something that's convenient, actionable, provides clinical data, and is more meaningful to the consumer than other wearable technology. BioStrap launched in June 2016 and now has users across the world and has been involved in various studies in the clinical space, whether it's identifying early signs of respiratory illness or the efficacy of multiple interventions on sleep, recovery, and overall well-being. So without further ado, let's jump into the podcast. Now, before we get into the podcast, I do want to take a quick minute to give a shout out to our sponsor, BetterHelp, or as I like to call it, a therapist in your pocket. It's the exact app that I used when I was going through my really challenging period of insomnia while traveling overseas. And the ability to maintain a consistent therapist in real life was just really not an option for me since we were jumping around from country to country. So the ability to, with using my phone, have video calls weekly with my therapist, I was paired with I connected with a great therapist right off the bat, but I do know other people who have been able to kind of shop around with some of the therapists on that app until they find a great fit for them. And in between those calls, one of the things that I found was really helpful is that you can also send voice notes, text messages, images in between that, you know, longer weekly video call so that you do have this really very real ongoing connection and support that I certainly, at least in my experience, hadn't felt with real life therapists that I had used in the past. And also the pricing structure is much more competitive than a lot of the real life therapists that you can come into contact with. So I found it to be a lot of benefits. I recommend it to a lot of people that are just kind of going through struggles in their life or just simply want to be able to up level and bring in that level of reflection and awareness into their life about what's both working and not working. And you can certainly cancel at any time. And for our sleepy community, the BetterHelp company has hooked us up with 10% off. If you go to betterhelp.com/sleepisaskill, again, betterhelp.com/sleepisaskill. And welcome to the Sleep is a Skill podcast. I cannot wait to get into talking more on this topic with Samir. We are going to go deep on the topic of certainly BioStrap and their presence in the sleep wearable industry. But, you know, I actually had the privilege of getting to speak beforehand before hitting record. And now I even have more questions than I originally had because they've got some really cool things happening in the world of understanding kind of personal health and awareness through wearables and kind of the quantified self movement. So I can't wait to dive in deeper. But without further ado, I'd like to put this spotlight onto you and just hear a bit more about how is it that you found yourself in the sleep wearables industry and a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Molly. It's really a pleasure. I've heard so much about you. I just had to come and talk to you.
Awesome. So happy to have you.
Of course. You know, so how I got here, you know, honestly, like, you know, I spent a good chunk of my early days actually being overweight, kind of not even really concerned about health, quite frankly, is my fifth thing on the list. You know, it's always like, you know what, it's not that important, you know. So honestly, it was, you know, up until after college where I had kind of a revelation, like, where like, you know what, I gotta, you know, I just don't feel good about who I am. And that kind of thing, you know, I just reconsidered my own entire life, let's say.
Sure.
And, you know, just one. Yeah. And I think that was the changing point for me. I wanted to, you know, really make a difference. I just kind of stuck with it. And I think forming a habit is so hard, of course. But, you know, I did it, you know, after a month, I saw some progress with, you know, consistent exercise, eating right. And then I kept doing it. And then after, you know, after 2 years, I lost about 80 pounds. I was in the best shape of my life. I was extremely happy. And I think the neurons in my brain were remapped to some way where now I was obsessed with kind of health now. And that was back after college. So, you know, back in after 2008, you know, I always knew, you know what, after that, I want to do something health. I didn't know what it was. My background actually is nothing in health. I have a computer science background. So, you know, I look at kind of health as a problem statement and I see how can machines and computing help to solve some of these problems. That's the way I approach things in algorithmic fashion. Maybe not so much as how, you know, a clinical physiologist or a doctor would, right? So it's really like, you know, enough data sets, drawing lines, and try to build machines, machine learning concepts. That's where I kind of enjoy. That's my background.
Wow. Well, number one, thank you so much for sharing a bit of, you know, that vulnerable fashion of like, listen, it's not as if I've always been in perfect health and that's why I'm in this industry. I think for many of us, that certainly that applies for me and a lot of people I've met in this realm, it has come from, you know, often doing all the things not to do or how it took right. a lot of self kind of discovery or journey. And that added that level of motivation to make some of the changes necessary. So I think there can be some real goals in coming from a place of things not working. So if you're coming and listening to this and your sleep is not where you would like it to be, I know this might sound at the time when you're exhausted, like, oh, come on, there's no silver lining here. But really, certainly in my experience, or at least in my life, it ended up being one of the best things that ever happened to me because I was so stubborn. I probably would have been doing all the things that I should not have been doing for my sleep. And it really finally woke me up, so to speak, no pun intended. And it sounds like, you know, you now, yeah. having gone through that and seeing both sides of it, it's fantastic. So really very cool. So if you can help kind of fill in the gaps for us. So how did you go from that place to then really being a leader in this wearables industry? What does that journey look like for you? And what can we learn about that? What was the gap in the market that you wanted to do and help with sleep optimization and health optimization?
Right. And we all know that sleep is kind of the core pillars to health. I didn't understand that long time. I'm Same. A night owl by trait. Now I'm forced not to have kids and all that. So yes. you know, I sleep at 10 p.m. now. I would have never thought that former life, Same. I would have slept at 3 a.m. You know,
yeah,
and waking
absolutely.
Up in the afternoon. It's horrible. I mean, absolutely horrible. That's why I probably gained the weight in the first place, right? Just having that horrible circadian rhythm. But, you know, I know better now. Fast forward to kind of 2015 era, you know, I basically stumbled upon kind of an area where I think had a really big interest is really the wearables space. I knew it was going to boom. I knew that there's a lot of innovations to be had there. And I wanted to do it in a different way, really. I wanted to create kind of a clinical grade wearable where everyone, you know, I basically want to democratize clinical grade data for everybody, let's just say. And I didn't want to compromise on data. That's kind of the idea. When you look at kind of wearables in the market back then and even now, it's all about user experience and maybe not the data. Data is secondary to that. I was like, how do you build a architected like wearable that doesn't compromise on data and you get to use the kind of computation power of Amazon's, you know, EC2, you know, or his farm, you know, the server farms. So that's kind of, you know, we architect from the day one, like, how do we have 1,000 computers crunching data with, you know, coming, you know, data streaming from a device like ours? So that's, you know, where the kind of data, the mindset came from. And that's where we are now. It's really like a cloud-based wearable. We don't compromise on the data. And, you know, there's so much data embedded in what we call the PPG signal. You know, there's the sleep time is the best time to even measure it. So sleep and biometric data kind of go hand in hand here. But really, you know, that was kind of the genesis of that thought, the hypothesis that, you know, one, having a cloud-based wearable is the future for us, and kind of that idea of just having a PPG cloud-based computing system is also kind of something that we thought was extremely unique. And still now, we're finding newer biomarkers every year. You know, new things are being discovered on here. You know, blood pressure is just one of the few things that people know about, but there's more to be discovered every year. And so basically we kind of think of ourselves as a clinical grade wearable.
Wow. Okay. So from that place, then what would you say the science behind the BioStrap tools or kind of speak to that, some of that science, and then how it is measuring some of these elements that you're, to your point, that we're even discovering more and more regularly mm-hmm. as we're getting deeper, and how is it able to then analyze that all comprehensively?
Yeah. So really, you know, we try to be not even optimizing for one biomarker at all. We're not saying, you know, we're basically trying to get the best PPG signal. And it's always comes down to that thing. What is that waveform? That little kind of like, you know, ECG, you know, we have the analog, which is PPG, the photoplethysmography signal. We optimize to get the best signal no matter what, because that's where that's where we're mining information from. We're extracting, we're taking this computation power and taking out HRV from there, heart rate, SpO2, blood oxygen, respiratory rate. Those are all coming from PPG, you know? So it's not really, we're not saying trying to just get one marker. We're getting all of it and storing all that. And it's, you know, that's why we work with researchers today. And we're working with some that are inventing new biomarkers now, like Children's Hospital LA. They're inventing their own one for determining pain for sickle cell anemia use case. It's fascinating. I think people are just kind of understanding the power of PPG now, at least the researchers are.
Sure.
But we're trying to bring that and democratize that, like, and having an easy way to access that kind of data, which wouldn't traditionally cost thousands of dollars to do, honestly. So really, we're all about kind of getting the best data first. So that's why we call it, you know, the data first company in that way.
Wow, very cool. And I like that you're looking of how to collaborate so that we can, because so many of these, many companies have it where it's hidden and we're not able to access so much of that data. And then that can make for problems, especially when trying to validate working with other sleep researchers and sleep scientists. So, and I think that actually could lead us into one thing that we were speaking of before, your BioStrap Labs that you mentioned. I was wondering if you could share a little bit about what that looks like and how.
Sure.
And why you're excited about that one.
Oh, absolutely. This is a, you know, being a biohacker, you know, it's always N equals on experimentation, right? You kind of see the latest and greatest, you want to try that thing.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh crap, that was a waste of money. Or hey, this is awesome. I'm gonna incorporate that into my life.
Right.
You know, it's all about doing that concept, but doing it for a company now. And you know, there's a lot of, you know, we know that the wellness industry is like multi-trillion dollar industry, largely unregulated, you know. You can basically say, hey, this is a magic thing. You do this thing, $300, you'll sleep the best you ever slept.
Yes.
But you know, you can do that and it is done. So our kind of, you know, we thought, you know what, how do we have these companies that truly have awesome products? How do they kind of, you know, rise above everybody without having to spend $100,000 in a clinical research study? And, you know, having that whole thing, that's very expensive. We wanted to kind of have an easy way to kind of do our own product validation for any company. So really what that looks like is, you know, we define protocols, we help with compliance, and at the end of it, we come up with a report saying, hey, this is the result of this. And we help, you know, identify people. We even take, you know, we have a large BioStrap user base. We recruit people that want to share their data and they get free products, right? And hey, here's, try, you know, we did something with Theragun. That was our first pilot of this program. We had 60 people testing their device, and hey, $500 device for 60 people, that's not too bad, you know? So they get to use it for 6 weeks. After 6 weeks, we found out that this thing actually helps sleep in a big way and heart rate variability. You know, now, you know, they're using it in their advertising and kind of, you know, now they learned, I don't think they even hypothesized that it would help this help sleep, but now they have that kind of piece of evidence now. But we want to basically democratize that. We want anyone to do a quick validation is 6 weeks, all you need. We help you with the entire process. We can, you know, do an IRB approval if you need it as well. So we try to make that whole complicated thing and kind of make it simple for any company in the wellness industry.
Wow, that's very cool and very exciting about all the implications, because as we know, there's so many people that are getting into the conversation around wearables and then sleep-specific wearables, but then making use of all that data and then applying it kind of out-of-the-box ways like this can just be really eye-opening for so many people. So I love what you're doing there. Have there been any, I know this is a big question, so you know, let me know if it's just too big,
sure.
But have there been particular trends or eye-opening insights that you guys have been able to make so far out of this sleep data that's coming from so many people, certain things that you were surprised by the data? You know, of course, an obvious being as it relates to possible changes around COVID, but any particular aha moments that you've seen from all of these users that you have?
I would say I don't have such a thing at this moment, I think, but what it is like, I think, the data, we still have to go through that data, quite, to be completely honest.
And yes, which I mean, appreciate.
I think one thing that I'd like to do, and I know that this is happening and we just need to look at the data to prove it, is just comparing 2019 with 2020 and seeing sleep trends. I hypothesize that people are probably even worse at sleeping now. And, you know, I also hypothesize that a lot of people are having mental problems just being at home. You know, it's a difficult thing for people, a huge shift and activity levels drop, you know, all these kind of things. And it's in the data, you know, it is something that we could explore just to produce a report for, because even I'm interested in that and haven't had a time being a small company.
I'm sure. Yes, absolutely. Well, to be continued on that then. That sounds awesome. And then kind of backing up a little bit. So I was wondering if you could walk us through some of the features of BioStrap that have it stand out from the competition of all these different sleep devices. I know you mentioned blood oxygen level, which, you know, certainly not all of those trackers have, and just kind of parse out some of the ways that it's kind of unique.
Yeah. That's awesome. I in fact, I think it is relevant. I mean, we're recently launching through a partnership with the Iron Cowboy, a heart health module. And what that is essentially is much more deeper insights into PPG data. So, you know, you mentioned the ones that are what I deem as the basic biometrics, you know, and then there's something called the arterial kind of biometrics that we're looking at. So what that is, we're looking at second and derivative waveforms. If you remember from calculus, we're looking at second derivative. And what that is we're looking at arterial measurements. So, you know, arterial elasticity, peripheral elasticity, arterial aging. So we can look at things that are kind of, you know, more in line with how rigid or elastic your arteries are. And that's really keys into lifestyle. You know, of course, sleep helps with that. You know, it's really like an aging, a way to kind of age your arteries. That is a moving thing. It happens, you know, it does move every day, not drastically, but just like HRV, you know. Yes. And, you know, some days you have worse than others. But that's an innovative one that we've launched. When I had COVID, I clearly saw huge changes in those metrics as well. So it's pretty interesting to see in a real life basis, actually, because we basically created this, you know, in the company, you know, with the research team, and you know, kind of seeing it with real people and seeing how it fluctuates with just behaviors and even with, you know, a virus like that, is very interesting.
Yeah, let's even focus on that for a minute, because I think we can learn so much from other people's stories. And I know you recently had COVID, and with all this wealth of information that you've had now in your back pocket around how your health and sleep normally functions. I wonder if you could share with us your experience with COVID, how having the wearable information was helpful or eye-opening, and, you know, any kind of lessons that we can learn from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a great little science experiment, let's call it, you know, seeing the data. I mean, it was absolutely horrible, but, you know, I knew my body could fight it off. So, you know, it was a 2-week kind of ordeal that happened mid-January or so, I think. Yeah, early to mid-January. We actually have a module that basically kind of scores your risk for respiratory illness, aka does it look like COVID? So, you know, all that was red. So I'm like, uh-oh, that's not good. and I wasn't feeling that great. So really day one, I'm like, all right, I need to probably quarantine myself. And then I took a test the next day. And lo and behold, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I got to really, you know, I have COVID now. So let's see, you know, how to deal with this and you know, put on my, you know, a kind of biohacking hat and kind of hack this thing, right? So, you know, supplementation like crazy, right? You got the whole, you know, I just looked up the protocols that most people follow. Good thing my vitamin D levels were pretty good. So I think that was that's a key thing, actually. You know, so just supplemented really well. And sleep, I mean, it's just the irony of this thing. It's so incredibly hard to sleep when you have COVID, but that's the thing that you need.
Yes.
So I was laying in bed for maybe 14 hours. Yeah, it's a cruel joke. I'm sitting in bed for 14 hours and maybe 5 of them were actual sleep, you know, the worst efficiency you'll ever get. It's just a cruel, cruel irony of it. You know, I want to sleep so badly and I'm moving. I mean, even if you look at like the actigraphic graph on my sleep, I'm like moving like constantly and consistently getting just horrible, horrible sleep for at least a week. And then after I started being able to sleep well, then I started recovering really quickly.
Oh,
but
wow.
It's just a cruel irony. You're trying to sleep, but you can't. And I'm giving myself time to sleep. You know, it was basically when I was I couldn't even work because I was just in such bad shape. So I was like, let's just sleep and hope this goes away.
Well, I'm glad you prioritize sleep. That makes a ton of sense. So, but I hear you. And I've heard that from many, many people. It's just so frustrating when you know that's exactly what you need. And that actually will happen for so many people just in general with sleep disturbances. You know, they're going through periods of insomnia or what have you, and they know that they're stressed to the max. And actually what could really help support that is added sleep. And yet that's exactly the time when they're not seeming to be able to come upon it easily. So I definitely hear that frustration. And it sounds like you've been able to provide some insights for the rest of us of some of, you know, what can make a difference, even supplementation, obviously rest and restoration where possible. And so, you know, further just even going into this topic of what we can learn as it relates to these wearables and kind of personal development or awareness through these. I know you also mentioned the Iron Cowboy, and I was wondering if you could just share a bit more about the Iron Cowboy and BioStrap and what we can learn mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is something that we just pushed earlier this week, announcing that, you know, it's the Iron Cowboy, you know, whose name is James Lawrence.
Yes.
In 2015, I believe he did what's called the 50 consecutive Ironman triathlons in 50 states in 50 days consecutively. And that itself is I don't even know if I can complete half of one, but this guy's doing 50, you know, like consecutively. And that's swimming, biking, running every single day for 50 days. Now, you know, here he is in 2021. Now he wants to double that. So he's doing 100 now. So he's going to do 100 Ironman triathlons in 100 days consecutively. So he's chosen BioStrap as the official health monitoring platform for him because, quite frankly, this is not healthy, believe it or not. This is not healthy. So what we've done is assembled a team that's remotely monitoring him. You know, well, we've been collecting his baseline since I think January, just to kind of get some baseline data, know where he's at, his body's at, before he kind of just like throws a whole bunch of stress on his body consecutive for 100 days. So, you know, we have you know, our chief science officer, chief medical officer, we have nutritionists, we have all these cardiologists, physiologists, and even like a team from UCLA monitoring him. So it's pretty awesome. You know, he's basically has a team of all these health coaches and doctors that are watching him, and he's, you know, going about doing his thing. And so, you know, we're part of that, really, really excited about it.
That is amazing. And yeah, it makes me just wonder, especially now that he's going to be doubling this, what in the world his HRV will look like, mm-hmm. among other things. So,
So the important thing about that is that recovery is kind of where we kind of come into. So we're going to be helping him with that recovery state. Because you can imagine, you know, I think, I don't know, 8 hours a day, how long it's spending doing this entire craziness, if not longer. So really, that's where we come in. We help him with the protocols, making sure he's recovering well, checking his HRV, resting heart rate, arterial properties, heart health. We're looking at all of that remotely so that we can guide him. Like, you know what, you need to do this, not the other. Obviously, we can't tell him not to do the Ironman. Let's just support him in any way we can. From what I know or learned, he's going to be sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber every night just to recover. You know, so
bonus.
Like think about so he's trying to like, you know, really force that, and he, you know, over the course of even 3 weeks of working with our team, we've already helped his baseline by at least 23% or so. So, you know, he's already seeing kind of benefits earlier on. Now, as he goes through this kind of challenge, now we're going to keep on kind of putting in more and more, you know, nutrition's huge for him too. I mean, this is very important that your body's fueled correctly. So the whole ordeal, we're coming with the whole team helping him with this.
Wow. Okay. And so out of all the wearables on the market, was there kind of a background reason as to why he ultimately went with you guys and why you guys decided to partner?
Well, I think given, you know, all our clinical data and kind of our backing and just having the team that we have, I think he was just really excited to work with us and we're really hands-on in a project like this. So I think, I'm having dinner with him tonight. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Very cool. Are you going to be monitoring what he eats and his choices?
Oh, well.
We have stats riding on you.
I know, right? Exactly.
No alcohol for you. Well, very cool. And I love that's especially hands-on and creating a relationship like that. Yeah, it goes a long way and can't wait to hear more. So you guys will be doing kind of a whole rundown and write up on what that all looks like, I'm assuming, throughout the process and at the end. So I can't wait to hear some of the things that he implemented of, you know, levels to that, you know, degree, because, you know, we'll be working with certain clients that even just a couple extra, whatever, CrossFit sessions or something are stressing their body. So I can't even imagine what that could look like in ways that you'll help support that. So very cool. And then, so in alignment with all that, are there particular things that you guys are doing, not to jump around on so many topics, but back to the COVID concept that you guys are doing to help support people that are concerned about getting COVID or ways to recover? Have you been able to find any sort of, or to create research around why this would make all the sense in the world to be wearing particular wearables and how this mm-hmm. can help support you in the spotting of kind of going off of your normal baseline and preemptively making a difference there?
Yeah, I mean, so we do have a kind of module that we've not launched to any, not consumers. It's more like an enterprise thing, but it is a respiratory risk scoring mechanism that we've constantly are iterating on as we get more data. So that essentially is it, like I said, it's a scoring mechanism to kind of bucket you into the green, yellow, or red zones to know, you know, in terms of how risk. And we look at about 6 or 7 different inputs there and compare to baseline. Baseline is so important because really everyone is so unique and knowing, you know, you want to know perturbation against baseline, how, you know, standard deviations above or below, depending on the metric, you know, so really we have different thresholds. And we did a COVID study last year with thousands of people that opted in to share their data. And you know, it's built off of that data set as well. And then we keep on having new instances. So really we wanted to provide a tool that helps people understand, hey, this looks like COVID, and being able to isolate yourself quickly can then, that way you don't spread it, right? So the whole point is kind of knowing as soon as possible so you can quarantine that. And that makes the biggest difference. And as soon as I came red, I was like, all right, I'm already kind of, you know, always at home and kind of isolate myself anyway. So,
yes.
You know, it's kind of by default.
You know? Yeah.
I'm always working anyway. So
that's,
I'm like, all right, cool.
Yep.
I just, yeah, exactly. That's just what we do. And, you know, so I was like, okay, just, you know, 2 weeks of this and test again at the end of 2 weeks. And, you know, it's just a tool to just be smart. You know, I mean, at the end of the day though, you know, if you don't need, you know, a tool to, you kind of have common sense, you know, end of the day, this is not replacing common sense. I know I had a fever. I felt it, you know, it doesn't have to be COVID. You just don't go out. but the tool is kind of there to like support your hypothesis. Like, okay, cool. This looks like it's pretty bad. I'm gonna stay put. So really, you know, it's just a tool to augment and not replace, you know, or, you know, the common sense.
Well, on that note, great point, because I've had some pushback for people around bringing wearables into the sleep conversation. They'll say, okay, great. Well, I'm going to get all this information, but I'm not going to know what to do with it. And it's just going to be another wasted gadget and money, you know, just throwing down the window or out the window or whatever. And so my question for that is, have you guys been playing with different ways to make recommendations, to make sense, to help people make sense out of the data that is coming their way? Because as you've said, there's acronyms, there's tons of information. It's in the cloud. Mm-hmm. It's all over. And so for the average person, I've got some clients that are 72 years old and I'm putting wearables on them. So are they going to be able mm-hmm. to make sense of all that information in a user-friendly way?
So yes, I think in most cases, yes. But what we have learned is that having somebody actually coaching them is the most, knowledge is only how, you can only take you so far, right?
Yes.
You can only lead a horse to the water, right? At the end of the day, the horse has to drink. So not to call all of our users horses, but I'm just saying that you essentially have to kind of, if you see something wrong, you have to try to find ways to fix it. And sometimes you don't know, right? So, you know, we try to do the best. What we recommend is just having a good, consistent circadian rhythm, right? So, you know, that we try to recommend best practices to the end user, just to kind of like, just do the base minimum, bare minimum that'll help you, you know, sleep at this time, wake up at that time, based on kind of trailing data. It looks like you should sleep at this time and plan to wake up that time. And we try to guide them in that way. But, you know, health coaches, you know, that's also an important role here, because accountability is important as well for someone maybe, you know, specific to your example in the 70s, you know, or being a 70-year-old, that you probably want to have somebody monitoring them on a, you know, that's with telemedicine, you know, RPM and kind of remote population monitoring comes in. The accountability is huge, right? So just having the tool itself sometimes isn't enough and depends on the individual and their kind of need. Biohackers, you give it to them, they're going to do something with that data, right? But not everyone's like that.
Got it. Okay. And to your point, I mean, so as you've said, you're quite the biohacker. You've been in this conversation for quite some time. And I'm wondering, and as an entrepreneur, I'd imagine quite the visionary, where do you see sleep tracking going in the future, the next year, and then certainly even beyond? What do you envision as possible with this?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're going to get better at sleep tracking. You know, I think the gold standard is still going into a lab, getting hooked up with EEGs, ECGs, and EMGs, all that. And that is the gold standard, you know, and still will be. I think, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years, I don't know that everyone will go to a lab anymore. It'll all just be done at home. And that's it, you know, end of the day. And that's because it's going to be accurate enough. I would say, you know, over time, people are getting better at you know, it's still relatively new, you know, as a kind of research topic. We're learning things all the time. And, you know, as we learn more, people are going to implement those things into the recommendation engines and measurements of these wearables. And wearables are only going to get more popular. They're going to be more innovative and form factor, that kind of thing. You're seeing a bunch of stuff that actually stimulate your brain to help you get in deep sleep more with your music or some sort of other kind of modalities. Those are the kind of things you're going to see, you know, strictly just reading. And then there's also like maybe writing, which writing is more like helping them stay in deep sleep, you know, like thinking like a computer scientist here, but yes. You know, like reading the data and also like helping them sleep more, you know, so you see kind of the feedback loop. You see a bunch of those nowadays, you know, with the Dream Band and a bunch of other technologies coming out. So, you know, I just think that, you know, it's kind of interesting. The whole digital therapeutics is going to blow up even more for the sleep. People realize it's a problem. They now know that, you know, lack of deep sleep causes, you know, what is Alzheimer's, a more likelihood to get Alzheimer's. Yeah. It's, you know, so we all know sleep is so important, but not everyone can get good sleep. And that's why sleep is a skill.
Yes, absolutely. So cool. So I love your kind of what you're sharing, that vision, because I think there is it's so exciting. And particularly for companies like you that are making it easier for, you know, people that have devoted decades of research and time in those labs to be able to then sift through that data without it being kind of locked to them is a big deal. So that's an exciting, you know, role that you have as an opportunity to play. So very cool. And then from that place, one thing that we started to add in, because people would say, okay, so we're listening to these people that are really living and breathing sleep and optimization and in this world all the time, seeing all this data. So people want to know, what are you doing as it relates to your sleep? So a couple questions there that I'd love to just run down with you. So, you know, I'm sure this evolves all the time and you know, I'm sure it looks all very different at different points, but as of right now, absolutely. What is your current nighttime routine? What does that look like for you?
Sure. I'll just put myself on the spot. I'm not doing a great job.
I appreciate, you know, the humility. Sure.
But I know what's right. And, okay. And I'm opting in. Sometimes at nighttime is when I get the time with my wife, right? So, yes, you know, sure. we do things that maybe we'll watch a show. Right now we're watching the show that we're watching and try to finish it so I can get back to getting good sleep and consistent. Normally I would not, I don't Netflix and chill, but right now I am.
Well, as what was it? The CEO of Netflix had famously said something to the effect
sleep is the enemy of Netflix.
Sleep is the enemy. Yeah. Netflix, their biggest competitor.
Yeah. I was livid, but, that's something I don't do TV, but you know, it's also bonding times, but temporarily I've been doing that. It's definitely, if I wasn't doing that, essentially, you know, I would definitely, you know, try to stay away from screens, you know, before bedtime, but I still try to even with that, try to get to bed before 10 or before 11, you know,
sure.
When it's midnight, I know that, you know, it's not going to be a good night.
Yes.
And I do have two kids and another on the way. So that's also, you know, and we're all in the same bed. So sometimes, you know, I do get some disturbances along the way, but, you know, I've learned to kind of manage that. But to me, the biggest thing I can recommend to anybody, just sleep at a consistent time and wake up at a consistent time. You don't need any fancy $1,000 gadget to, you know, honestly.
Yes. Really? Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations on the new addition to your family. Exciting.
Thanks.
And and it sounds like you've even touched on the next question, which was, what was the single biggest change you made positively influencing your sleep? Would you say it is that consistency of the bedtime wake time?
Absolutely. Okay. And I think for most part people that have issues, you know, just cleaning that up, you'll see a lot of other parts of your life flourish. It's interesting. What you do in nighttime influences what you have in daytime. And people maybe not make that connection sometimes.
Yes.
But sleep debt affects you for days after. And if you don't kind of get through that, then really, you know, if you're a high performer and we're, you know, being a startup founder, you are a high performer by default. We're the athletes of our world, right? So
sure.
We got to be performing at a, you know, there's no off day. So yeah. I got to perform. Sleep is the only way I can get, you know, fully recovered and perform on every day.
That is awesome. I love that. And so to that end, then one of the next questions is, what apps or gadgets do you use to improve your sleep or other aspects of your life? So I'm sure we know the top one. And so if you can just kind of parse out that.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Biostrap's glued to my arm. Yep. You can't take it off, obviously, you know, for obvious reasons. I don't really use gadgets. If you consider the air conditioning a gadget, I keep it at a cool 68 is too cold for my wife. So, you know, I have to compromise there. So 70 is kind of where we set it at. And, you know, sorry for East Coast listeners, you know, I still have the AC on the night here in LA. So,
yes, I'm in Vegas, so I totally get it. Yes. When it's Mars in the summer, I totally hear that. Yep.
Right. So I still have the AC on. And honestly, the temperature is a big one for me. It's second to circadian rhythm. Those are the big ones that's the only things I really use. I pitch black, honestly, like if you have any shade, like lights are just not allowed in our bedroom. So really those three things are so huge, and I would recommend that for anybody.
That is awesome. And how about just as a quick tangent for HRV, we just get so many people wanting to know all the things around improving HRV. So curious for you, anything in addition that's made some of the biggest difference in your HRV numbers specifically? Yeah, if you could share that, that'd be great.
It's so dependent on the individual. I already have naturally high HRV. It's definitely fitness. Fitness is what kind of fuels that.
Yeah.
You know, do deep breathing. That for sure helps. That diaphragmatic breathing, it helps, you know. So it's all, you know, everyone has a different starting point. It doesn't mean just because it's low, quote unquote, doesn't mean it's a death sentence. You know, you can improve it with time, with fitness. And, you know, for me, I found this out, I guess, a couple months ago. I did like an NAD drip, and that helps my HRV by, you know, 40% for a good couple, like a whole week. And actually my baseline improved. So that was interesting. I didn't expect much from that, but that was fun to see.
By 40%. Look at that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people, sales of NAD drips will go nuts. I mean, there's so many people that are just desperate to move this HRV.
Sure.
So that's
Who doesn't want to be more resilient in their life? Right. I mean, that's end of the day, what you're getting. And your body's designed to, you know, have stress. There's nothing wrong with that. Stress is good. Use stress, you know, distress, all stress that you need. And your body is a machine that's meant to kind of fight them. And this really HRV is just a tool to kind of know, you know, it's like a gauge, you know, where am I on the day, you know, and just plan for the day based on that. And hopefully you can get better recovery the next day.
Absolutely. Yes. And again, I can't wait to see for the Iron Cowboy what his HRV levels look like with all that.
Oh, you can see it, you know, I think on our website, you know, biostrat.com/ironcowboy. We'll be posting updates on weekly. I think we'll probably show even his like heart rate variability, which, you know, I don't know how good it's going to be, but yeah, we'll be posting some information on that. That'll be fun. Yeah. On a regular basis. I don't know what the cadence, I think weekly, cause daily would be a lot, but I don't know. You can check out that website when it's up. He starts March 1st. It would be really cool to see that.
Oh my God. You know,
I'm personally excited. Yeah.
Do you, as you said, you have a newsletter? Will that be in the or no? Or how will you be?
I don't know. I don't. Yeah. So you can just
the website is probably the
website
spot.
Is probably the best right now.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Follow us on social media on all the things. LinkedIn, Instagram are kind of the big ones for us. So just follow us there. You'll be fed all this information.
Yes. I can't wait to see that. Okay. Very cool. And then, so I like to hear that as far as the apps and gadgets question, despite, you know, being in the conversation, you're not one of these people that's littered and covered in gadgets.
I want to keep it simple life because I don't want to depend on a single gadget that's altering my sleep in any fashion, even supplements. I don't do melatonin. I don't do much. I might do magnesium, honestly, that's fine, but I don't want to do anything I don't do anything that's because quite frankly, our body's meant to have the sleep it needs. And I don't want to alter that unless I need it. Like again, jet lag or like I'm feeling like garbage. You know, I took melatonin when I had COVID, but in other normal circumstances, I don't want to depend on anything. And sometimes as biohackers, we're kind of itching to try the latest thing, but your body is designed to recover and sleep, you know, it needs the sleep that it needs. So I kind of stay away from things, actually.
That is really cool. Well, that's sage advice, I think. And on that note, then what is, so this is the last question, is what was your personal kind of sleep aha moment, or what has been the biggest change to your sleep game? I know you mentioned the consistency. Have there been things that have come along the pike from changing from, you know, night owl and with your weight loss and all of these different things? What have you seen kind of making the base Pareto's principle shift in your sleep?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, I used to snore a lot, I think, back when I was, you know, overweight.
Sure.
Losing weight actually makes you sleep better, like, actually, right? Yeah. And of course, you can use little gadgets to help open up your airways. But the fact is, you know, if you aren't breathing right, you're sleeping poorly. And that's the end of it, because you're waking up, you have micro, like, little arousals throughout your sleep. That's not causing you to get deep sleep or enough of it. Even, you know, a really simple trick is just do like a nasal clean right before you sleep, like a neti pot or something. I've heard that helps some people that might already have natural congestion in the nose. Sure. Do that before, you'll get a good sleep the next day, you know? And that, you know, just know that oxygen, that getting good, like, breathing and nasal breathing, of course, you can mouth tape or whatever you need to do, make sure it's through the nose. That's going to be extremely impactful to get good sleep. But if you can't breathe at night, that needs to be addressed first, right? Before doing any, like, you know, dark room and all that, just try to breathe through your nose. That's a big one.
That's a big one. Oh, well, so much great information. And I know we kind of already touched on this, but to formally share, what are all the best ways for people to follow you guys, learn more about what you've got going on? And then certainly, you know, all these cool, the labs, the Iron Cowboy, COVID, all of this stuff.
Yep. Best way, biostrap.com. You can go there. And of course, social media, we post constantly and always love to hear from anybody, you know, through DMs and whatnot. So, you know, Instagram at Biostrap, LinkedIn, just look for us at Biostrap as well.
Well, this has been such a pleasure. It's so much fun with you guys. And just, you know, hearing more about what you're creating, and I can see the passion just, you know, is jumping from you based around, you know, you're sure. Living this and you're really getting to experience a difference. And particularly just even recently with COVID, just the aid that something like this of having your own personal baseline and seeing when you're deviating and how to help support yourself, you know, coming back out of that. For all y'all listening, I guess people probably run to get the NAD drips and all the things, but I can really get how much you're in the game on this and then looking to further expand. So it's really exciting. So thank you so much for taking the time to share this information.
Thank you so much for having me, Molly. It was a real pleasure.
So awesome. Thank you. You've been listening to the Sleep is a Skill podcast, the number one podcast for people who want to take their sleep skills to the next level. Every Monday, I send out something that I call Molly's Monday Obsessions, containing everything that I'm obsessing over in the world of sleep. Head on over to sleepisaskill.com to sign up.